It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Is this video or just audio?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. You know what to do. Like what you see, what you hear. Hit that subscribe button. About 3 new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with author-illustrator Charlie Mackesy. We're going to be discussing the new animated version of his very famous book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It's out now on Apple TV+. Let's see. He's going to tell the story of how the journey began, from making drawings just to cheer up his friends before becoming an online success that led to a book and now, of course, the animated short film. We're going to hear about his connections to the characters and the messages they all give. That's probably the most important part of this if you're familiar with the book itself. Let's see. Charlie's also going to discuss working with Isabel Waller-Bridge. Yes, that is Phoebe Waller-Bridge's sister, on the score and the cast. Idris Elba, Tom Hollander. It's a very fun story also about Gabriel Byrne. All that and more. We're talking about The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It's Kyle Meredith with Charlie Mackesy.
Nice to meet you, Kyle.
Nice to meet you, too. Let me congratulate you on all of the success from this beautiful, beautiful story that's now part of a beautiful film as well. Congratulations.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Thank you.
So I guess we start with a little bit of the history. These started out as drawings, right? Just on your socials. What's the path from where these started to now being the film that it's become?
Well, they began as really drawings to share with my friends. I was a WhatsApp group, and they were, you know, we used to chat about stuff, and I would share these conversations with my friends, and then we'd talk about them. And then, I mean, I've got mountains of them in this room. Like, I mean, if you can see below my feet, you can't really see much for drawing. So that's how it began. And then, yeah, I shared them on Instagram and, you know, was quite surprised by the reactions to them. And so I just kept going. And then a year later, you know, I was approached to make a book. I didn't really think they were good enough to make a book, to be honest. I didn't really know what would happen, but we made a book, and then I was really still in a state of complete shock about the book and the reaction to it. And then, you know, a little while after that, we were kind of in conversation about making a film. And so 2 years later, we made this little film. And that's where we are now. It's kind of crazy, really. I'm still kind of wondering how on earth that all happened, because all I was doing was trying to cheer up my friends. You know, that's literally what I was trying to do.
The things that are said, just not from the boy, but from all of your characters in this, I mean, I found it incredibly touching and incredibly helpful. And things that I need to, yeah, things that I needed to hear, things that helped me in small parts of my day. But as you've talked about, like, you know, you did choose a boy, you chose someone young as your character, and I don't know how much thought went into that or if it was natural, but why did you land on someone around that age?
It's a really good question, and I wish I had a clear answer, but I think there's still part of me deep within me that is kind of that boy. You know, I feel sometimes when life gets bewildering or confusing, I often, well, whoa, there's the inner child in me. And I think there was an instinct more than any kind of objective decision. So he just sort of, there he was, you know. And I like the shape of him. I like the relationship, the size of head to body. You know, I just like how he's great to draw. You know, I like drawing him, and I like drawing them all the characters in it. Because there were many others that were in the environment at the time, like the polar bear and the penguin. You know, there are others, but I think these four kind of stuck with me because I loved drawing them, and they all had such different characteristics. They seemed to fit together, you know. So yeah, the boy is probably me or all of us somewhere, you know.
I mean, opening up that film with just him saying, "I'm lost," because it says so much. And that was my age. I mean, how do you still connect with that age? And maybe it's not that hard, you know, but to have that as the opening line, you know, what did that say for connecting?
You know, I always felt that a lot of our lives are spent trying to impress people to, I don't know why, but ultimately we want to be connected. I think our chief desire is for connection. And I think the best way to get it is by being vulnerable and being honest about what we really feel, even though we try to impress with cars or money or houses or whatever it is he thinks impress. Ultimately, you know, real connection comes, I think, through telling the truth of who we really are. And so the boy, I wanted him to declare how he really felt straight away. You know, what are you doing here? And instead of saying, well, I'm here because I've walked this far, and then he just goes, you know, this is how I feel, and this is the reality of where I am. And it's summed up a lot of how I felt. A lot of my life is kind of lost, you know. You know, and still do sometimes. And so I wanted the mole to connect with the boy's lostness and then respond to it. And their whole journey is centered around the boy's lostness and looking for home. Yeah. So I wanted him to say it early on, you know.
That journey and him being lost, and especially seeing this as an animated feature. I mean, the one thing it reminded me of was a lot of, or not a lot of, but some of the animated features that I grew up on in the 80s and certainly also from the 70s, in the sense that it was darker. There are really dark moments of this. And I'm not talking about very scary moments, but it is darker. How did you want it represented in that light?
Well, I think, you know, life is difficult. I think for anyone. And with varying degrees of difficulty. And I felt like the journey needed to have a storm. It needed to have moments where things were really tough. Where the boy basically crumples and says, "I can't do this anymore. I can't," you know. And I've been in that situation many times. I think everybody in life will. And I didn't want to skirt around any kind of issue. I wanted it to be true, even though obviously we've got a talking mole. I mean, it can't be really real, but the issues they face are very real, and they work them out together. But I know, in my experience, and many of my friends, that we've all, you know, struggled. We've all cried for help or needed to. I think being human is to struggle, and it's a beautiful journey, but it's a difficult one. And I wanted to address those things in a simple but not naive way, and not to avoid those things. And so there is definite darkness. And the fox, you know, like, he's pretty scary. And he's represents part of, definitely part of, maybe that have been hurt and struggle to connect, or you know, don't trust, or who attack is the best form of defense, etc., etc. So yeah, they all have their arcs, and they help each other through them. You know, I think the connection is their way out of them, or way through them, which is what they find. But you know, the thing is, Kyle, you know, making the story, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. You know, I sound like I'm being really like, oh, I, you know, objective and clever. I didn't really have a clue until afterwards. I was thinking, oh, I see, that's what, oh, I get it now. Okay, so, you know, I made the book without quite understanding it. And I still don't quite understand why people have responded the way they have. I love that they have, and I'm genuinely moved and flattered and surprised. But it was just a trying to be as honest and vulnerable as I could with these characters, you know. And yeah, so that's it, really. I can't remember what your question was.
No, that's always so interesting because, I mean, with a lot of arts, you know, I also talk to a lot of musicians, and it's, you know,
right.
I sometimes feel bad because when you're creating a song, you know, you're just messing around sometimes, and then you've got to put the blocks together, and then the end of it, you're in these moments, you're like, well, it's about
right. There you go. And if you trace back, you were just messing around, right? Or you didn't really know what you were doing, and that's probably pretty much. I was just working on instinct every day, responding to things and writing about them, and you know. And pretty soon, you know, you've got this kind of the four and they're together, but they weren't always together. You know, they had to come together and they had to come sort of by accident and one by one. And and I think ultimately a lot of the time we're working on some kind of primal instinct or a subconscious sense of what is wrong or right. And I think we just need to listen to that part of ourselves and work from it. And then we can review it afterwards. Like I'm with you reviewing something that was, you know, instinctive and without real objective reason at the time that I could find. And I think a lot of life, you know, is like that. We're still not quite sure what's going on, and we're just making it through.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Charlie Mackesy. But the way, I mean, for whatever reason, for luck, anything, but the heaviness and directness and weight of some of these lines. I mean, it's also used in the trailer, and I didn't realize that until after I'd written it down, but asking for help isn't giving up, it's refusing to give up.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, in those moments, do you remember writing that line? Do you remember that, like, that specific moment?
The weird thing is that I wrote those lines, like, on this, where this desk is right here, one morning 2.5 years ago. I was just writing this down, and I felt it really viscerally, and like, because I know I've had to ask for help in my life a few times and it was difficult, but you know, I was so aware at the time that it was a tough thing to do, but a brave thing to do, but it didn't look courageous. It looked the opposite. And all this stuff was just flowing out of me. And I was just scribbling it and drawing it. And, you know, the first question was from the boy saying, what's the bravest thing you've ever said? And the horse paused in my head for quite a while and then just says, well, help. And then he has to qualify it because he would be aware that the boy would think, help is a brave thing to say, and then he would then say, asking but isn't giving up, it's refusing, it's a strong thing, it's a powerful decision to make, you know, and it's a refusal to, and it may look like weakness, but it's a real strength. So all this stuff was just, you know, just happening. I was just going along with it, drinking tea and, you know, going for a walk to the park and then coming back and drawing more. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. It's a strange thing, Kyle, you know.
Yeah, I've got a son. He's 15 now, and there was one moment in there where I don't remember the exact wording of the line, but like, doing nothing with your friends isn't exactly doing nothing. And I see that happening all the time now, and it's like, oh, I'm so happy that little moment made it in there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I remember that came from I was about to go and see a friend for the weekend. And another friend of mine, he's a very busy guy. You know, he's always got a reason for everything. And he said, so what are you going to do for the weekend? I said, I don't know. We're just going to, hang out. He said, yeah, but what are you doing? Do you have any plans? I said, no, I don't think we have it. We're just going to just chat or just probably do nothing. He said, well, you're doing nothing. And I said, yeah, but it's never doing nothing, is it? Like, there's always a relationship building. It's always listening. It's always going deeper with a friend. And I remember thinking a lot about that when got back home and just drew it that night. You know, it's an important thing to understand that being with each other doesn't necessarily need a primary activity other than just being with each other.
And those moments, like I said, I've loved them. I've loved all those little moments. I wanted to bring up you know, I was talking about the music, and that's also a powerful point of this. You've got Isabel Waller-Bridge doing the score. Yeah. And I know you sort of had a hand in that. What was the story on that side of things? I mean, what did you want the music to be, to say, to represent?
You know, I kind of wanted it was more not how it sounded, but how it make you feel. I knew how I wanted it to make the kind of emotion I was looking for, rather than that this is how it should sound. And so it needed to be gentle and encouraging and nurturing and deep and not too trite, have a bit of depth to it, not too jolly, but could move between pathos and levity, you know. And so Izzo and I were friends, you know. She approached me a long time ago saying, do you want to do like something on stage? You can draw and I'll play the piano. This is before lockdown. I said, yeah, that sounds fun, you know, of the book, because she had the book for ages before. And so when it came to this doing the score, she seemed like a logical conclusion. So we talked a lot about the tunes, and I would hum tunes on my phone down when I was, I remember one time in the bath, midwinter, a couple of years ago, saying, try this, da, 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 da. And then I'd send it. And then she'd come back like she's like an alchemist, because she would just transform that into something really beautiful. So that's all we were doing, was just exchanging tunes. The long answer, I don't know how much time we got, but the long answer is one day I was driving back from my old mum's, who I saw every day for 2 years. She's in her 90s, and I worked down the road from her, and I killed a robin, a little songbird, in my car, and got out and pulled it out of the grill, and it died in my hand. And then when I got back home, I was really distraught about it, because I'd been feeding them all winter, and now I'd managed somehow to be involved in one not living anymore. And when I was on the phone with her, and I had a tune in my head, and I was humming it for the robin, we ended up calling it Him to the Robin, which is essentially, you know, forms a large part of the score. So it's kind of it came, the music, from friendship and the deep desire that we both had. You know, she was so emotionally invested in the film. It wasn't like a job for her, it was something she really wanted to do so badly. And of course, like all the animators, that everyone, it feels, really wanted to do it, and they knew it was hard. It wasn't an easy thing to do for anyone. And I think Izzo's music is just, you know, it just feels right. You know, I hope to you.
It's beautiful, and it is gentle, and it is nurturing. And I don't know that I'd landed on those words, but those are all great descriptors of how that feels. And while, you know, we're talking about other people, I mean, the cast in itself, I mean, Idris Elba.
Right.
Tom Hollander. Did you have a say in the casting?
Do you know, I did, Kyle, because I kind of was already so immersed in the project. And yeah, by that time, when we were choosing characters, I was kind of very involved. So, you know, when it came to the boy, as soon as I heard Jude's voice, I knew it was him. I was looking for someone who had a long, you know, you mentioned that word, I'm lost. I like that, very soft. I was brought up in the Scottish borders, where they have these long vowels, and it's their voices, the accent sounds like the landscape. It's very kind of, you know, he'd say, I'm lost. It's that long O, it's like this huge hill. And he's so vulnerable in his sounds, and he was perfect. And Tom Hollander, I've always really admired. I think he's such he can move between being ridiculous and very serious in a second. And so his voice is kind of velvety and mole-like and cake-like almost. You know, it's that rich sound he makes. And Idris, well, you know, scary. He's an extraordinary ability to have a scary, scary voice. And then suddenly was dropping the lines of the film by, you know, having suffered so much. This is what I've discovered, you know, you're loved and all these things that boy needed to hear at the time. So, but again, his arc and the tone of his voice to begin with, when he's threatening them all right through to when he's advising the boy on how to exist, is I loved. And then you got Gabriel Byrne, who I hand wrote the letter to in ink and said, we couldn't get hold of him. And I'm like, I just said, look, this is my last try. I'm trying to reach you. And you probably, you know, I wrote a little book about a boy and a mole and a fox and a horse. And, you know, would you like to be the horse? If, you know, I would think your voice is amazing and the horse should be Southern Irish. And here's my phone number. And then I got this call 2 weeks later and it was like, is that Charlie? And I said, yes, it's Gabriel. I said, oh, hi, Gabriel, how are you? I'm fine, listen, I got you out. And I said, oh, thank you. You know, what do you think? Do you fancy being the horse? And he just said, Charlie, I am the horse. And that was like, I just fell over. I thought, well, you're kidding, you know? So that's how he joined the four. So that's the rest is what it is. Yeah, and I hope they work as a quartet. I kind of felt that each character should be a certain tone or note, like, and you've got the boy is the treble, and then the mole is more alto, then you've got the tenors and basses with Idris and Gabriel. So I hope they work musically, you know, that was a real desire.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it like that. The stories on the casting is incredible, but that just takes it to another level right there. That's great.
Well, the sound of their voices really matters to how it works with the music. At least it did to me. Maybe everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I kind of really was hoping that they would musically fit. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Anyway. So you have these four, as you mentioned, there are other characters in this world. Are there already plans in play? I mean, is there more story to come here?
You know, I mean, there are thousands of drawings in this house. You're seeing the kind of least cluttered bit of it by looking at the ceiling. I hope they have more to say and do. You know, I would like that. I feel caught in their world. And there are many things that didn't make the first book and didn't make the film that could have done. So I think we have a pretty rich seam of ideas. Who knows? You know, maybe this is it. I would never presume anything. Maybe people won't even want to see it anymore of any of them, but I think it would be fun to try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already seeing it to me as an instant fan in that Winnie the Pooh sort of way, you know, like there it is, you've created it, you know,
they exist.
Yeah, there's the world, there it is. And
right,
yeah,
that's nice.
I would love to see that. Yeah, I would anyway.
Oh, thanks.
Thank one you. Vote of confidence your way, for what it's worth.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
No problem, Charlie. Again, thank you seriously for what you're doing and for what you continue to do. I see the drawings that you put out about nurses as well, and
right,
and it's just, yeah, you're doing some great stuff in the world, and we so appreciate it.
Thank you. That's a lovely thing to hear. Thanks so much. Good to chat to you.
And my thanks, Charlie Mackesy. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse is out now on Apple TV Plus. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, subscribe. I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Because this is the studio, so maybe if I put that up a little. Maybe it's not going to work.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska named three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.